by expecting that at some point. He recused himself because he arranged it.
You have to call.
which was not really a problem 100, 200 years ago. Because there are these rules. You can summarize them all on one page, you follow them, end of story. Every woman, who probably every woman 200 years ago, every woman 100 years ago, knew how to kosher meat. Because what did you do? You found the chicken. There was a trained shaykh there who killed the chicken for you in the proper manner. And you put the chicken home and you kosher it. You know, I remember it. And my mother doesn't remember it, but I remember my mother doing it when I was young. And how did she know? She was an expert in all these rules. She just said, it's not very complicated. You get a certain set of defensive shoes with it. You put this way, end of story. What happened? Why should there be, if it's so simple, why does there have to be an OEO? Or another certified law agency? Because we fast forward the last 150 years, and suddenly you have all sorts of food technologies developing that you didn't have once upon a time. For instance, now we have things called enzymes, which are ubiquitous in processed food. You'll find them on vegetables, but find them all, one of the common ones is bread. Used to make cheese as an enzyme. It isn't actually substance of the cheese, but it's needed as an enzyme, which is sort of like a catalyst to ferment the milk into cheese. Rennet is normally taken from the stomach of a calf, or an old animal, usually calves. If the calf is not kosher, then the rennet is not kosher, because it came from a non-kosher animal. Lots of enzymes can be made, don't have to be made, but can be made with kosher animals, so you have something with enzymes in it. Suddenly, it's not enough to read the ingredient panel and say, okay, sugar, I know what it is, chocolate, I know what it is. Suddenly you have this enzyme in you, won't know, there is no way for you to know, even if they tell you what the enzyme is, what the chemical name of the enzyme is, maybe there is no way for you to know what the source of that enzyme is. Another example, glycerin, which is ubiquitous in processed food. Glycerin can be, if the glycerin is an oil-based substance, it can be made from various stearates, which are produced by animals and are produced by other sources of oils. How do you know? Just as glycerin, because it is glycerin. But from a kosher perspective, if it was made from a non-kosher animal, now you have a non-kosher ingredient in the mixture. And a consumer cannot possibly know. Not only a consumer, even somebody who's an expert in food science will not know where the glycerin comes from. You have to go to the plant that's using it and say to them, gentlemen, where do you buy your glycerin? And usually what they answer will be, well, we have 20 different suppliers. We buy it on the basis of cost and purity. Which leaves the rabbi scratching his head, you know, complaining about the different plants. And lots of these plants are in Malaysia or China. And well, how am I going to figure out whether that's kosher? So suddenly you have two more complexities. Not only do you get them from the ingredient label, not only do you get them from the plant itself, necessarily, but you have to send a rabbi over to the middle of nowhere in outer Slavonia, and today he's going to be asked to check a plant there, and you have to find a rabbi who speaks the language and who can ask the right questions and know what he's looking for. You know, the same thing, another example, oil. You get something which says pure vegetable oil. That means the company is saying the only thing we use in this product is pure vegetable oil. Aside from the fact that occasionally there's fraud and companies advertise things that aren't really true, I'm ignoring that. Let's say for the time being that all companies tell the absolute truth. And if they say there's vegetable oil in it, and that's only vegetable oil, then it's true. But the problem is that once you learn food technology and particularly plant technology, you learn a very unfortunate fact. The fact factories dust and produce oil cannot clean out the system. Why can't they clean out the system? You know, this is something that people in the country say, well, it's like a simple thing. You clean out everything. It's not from a stretch and nothing eventual. Well, the problem is that if you clean out everything, then you have to take down the entire plant for 2 weeks and start re-seasoning all the pipes. If any of you remember, if you have ever heard about cast iron skillets, you know that they have to be seasoned before they use it. If you are a cast iron skillet, first you have to pour a little oil in it, heat up a little flame, let it sit there, clean it up, do it again, do it again. That's the same thing you have to do in a factory, which has not cast iron skillets, but has 200 ton tanks. It's a bet for an oil plant to clean out. It's completely cleaned out. It's processing tanks. You go into it, you will look at the processing tank when it's empty, you will see about a foot of sludge on the bottom. Now, this doesn't mean you are eating the sludge, because you know the sludge stays on the bottom and it keeps building up, and they clean it out once every 15 years. But that means that all those tanks have to be shut down for 2 weeks a month. They can't do anything with them. So, the problem from the OSHA perspective, the problem from a health point of view, is you're really eating vegetable oil. The problem is, it's going through a heating system. You know, you have to heat up a lot of these foods to get them moving through the tanks. You're heating it up together with the sludge. Now you've got elements of sludge in the oil. How do you prevent that? It's a nightmare. I go to oil plants. You basically have to make sure that the only thing they're putting in these tanks is kosher product. And that's, so you check their bills of lading for the past months, because otherwise, I can tell you for a fact, every oil chamber and every oil processing plant has left over oil. And before the OSHA certification, you had a very common situation out there, because you could be using cattle, which is kind of feedback in that thing. And now you're putting in vegetable oil. And from a health point of view, all this only a couple of percentages from the OSHA point of view. Once you heat up a non-OSHA thing together with OSHA thing, the taste is considered to have spread throughout. Another issue is flavorings. From an health point of view, it might be best if it says all natural flavorings. From a kosher perspective, that's really a red flag. Their flavorings made from cinnamon. Cats. Their flavorings made from beavers. Their flavorings made from all sorts of animals. Why? And according to Allah, if you're putting it in there, according to Jewish law, if you're putting that in there for flavoring, then it doesn't matter how the word is. Because if you're putting it in for flavoring, it means they meant the taste. It's not like lizard oil, it's just the consistency necessary. Flavorings are meant to be in there so that you can taste them. In that case, then you can have only one part per thousand. And it's still considered relevant according to the Torah, because you're supposed to taste it. If you're supposed to taste it, that means it really is there. Gelatin. A very nice substance made out of gelatin, which is a naturally occurring substance. Normally, gelatin is made out of pig hides. Very high purity gelatin, which is not made out of big hides, it's usually made out of big bones. But most gelatin, 90%, that's only used nowadays. It's more expensive. They only use it for that case for into that gelatin in the ocean on the bill. But most gelatin in food is from big hides. Big hides is made. Big hides is made. It's according to the ocean percent. All I'm telling you Spend. FDA actually right now does not require that companies write the source of the call. They can write after the call, they don't have to source it. The FDA is reviewing that because they have had a lot of people to discuss the viability of being delicious. So I don't know why some people are. You know, there's all kinds of things in the world. So, I mean, so what was your question? Why?
Thank you.
go wrong, even while they never ever happen. But they understand what it is that we need, how much are they going to have to change from what they're currently doing to what we need them to do in order to maintain kosher supervision. I'll give you an example. I was recently meeting with my friend who was in Kentucky that was making French fries. French fries, they wanted to export French fries to Mexico. So I went into the bathroom to try to understand how the business works. And there were several issues.
Thank you.
french fries anymore. Had $500,000 worth of fresh french fries, spent more than $40 in production. Somebody's making fries now with nothing. 1% Vidal flavor, but actually Vidal. Again, you're not buying a suicide product, which makes it anything else you sell in fresh fries. But industrial product, the fact that people for it weren't using Vidal, obviously doesn't have fresh fries. We're not running much for the age.
Thank you. Certified world class. How do you deal with, say, criticism of the quality? Well, say that's
Yes, so.